from Abundant Grace International Fellowship, where he serves as the acting senior pastor there. He's been here in Shanghai for about 8 months. 9 months, him and his wife Diane have been here. They're from Ohio in the United States. And he's here to share God's word with us today, talking about the Sabbath rest. So let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Rick.
Thank you. Good afternoon, family of God. So good to be with you. Thanks, Jason, for inviting me to come and speak. I am also thankful to Jason for inviting me to go along to, on the tour of Greece and Rome on Chinese New Year. And my wife Diane is here, and we're joyfully anticipating spending those days with about 50 people, many of whom are from this congregation. So we're going to get acquainted with some of you folks and some folks from Abundant Grace International Fellowship as well. As Jason said, we've been at Abundant Grace for 9 months and as interim pastor, and we are now accepting resumes for the senior pastor position at Abundant Grace International Fellowship. We certainly appreciate your prayers for this very important decision of selecting a new long-term senior pastor. So, and if you happen to know of anyone that you think would be qualified for that position, you can pass that on to us. You can go to the website of the church and find a job description and a contact information. So, greetings to you from Abundant Grace, brothers and sisters down the road. This afternoon, I want to talk to you about a very important subject. We always talk about very important subjects. We wouldn't talk about anything else, but the extremely important subject of Sabbath rest. And let's just pause and ask God's blessing on our time. Heavenly Father, we just sang that we need you. And that is so very true. You say in Scripture that there is a way that seems right to us, but the end thereof is the way of death. You also say the way of man is not in himself. So we need you. We cannot find our way in this world. We don't know how to live as we ought, even though sometimes we think we do. We need your counsel. We need your will. We want your will to be done in our life. You created us. You designed us. You love us. You gave your son for us. And so we come here to hear your voice today. And I ask through your Holy Spirit that you would accomplish that, that I would be an instrument through which you can freely speak, and that there would not be distractions that prevent everyone here from receiving what you want to communicate today. So our hearts and our the eyes of our hearts are open to you in this moment we share together. In Jesus' name, amen. When I ask people the question, how was your week? How you been? How's your week? A very common response is, well, Pastor, I've been busy. I've been very busy. And busy is really an appropriate word to describe life in today's fast-paced world. Our schedules are often overloaded by long working hours, overloaded by family responsibilities and church obligations, overloaded by never-ending phone messages, overloaded with unwanted advertising information. Even when on vacation, we sometimes crowd our schedules wall to wall and madly dash from one fun experience to the next, back to back to back. In our go-go world of today, there's little time for rest, for silence, and solitude. We're always in a hurry. The hectic pace of life, after a while, it gets to you. Instead of enjoying life, we are enduring it. Instead of thriving, we're just trying to survive, get through the day, and get through another week. Instead of having zest for life, we have a heaviness, a weight, a burden that we carry around. The unrelenting press of obligations can crush you to the ground. Russian author Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that hastiness and superficiality, these are the psychic diseases of the 20th century. And, of course, the 21st as well. Can you identify with what I'm saying? Anyone? Yes. If you can identify with what I've been talking about, then the subject today is of great relevance to you. God, who knows all about our lives, and the stresses and strains of life today, the modern world, he's provided us with a solution to the craziness of a life of neurotic compulsion. It's a Sabbath day. It's a Sabbath. Abraham Heschel, I love the way he paints a picture for us. He says, in the tempestuous ocean of time and toil, there are islands of stillness where people may enter a harbor and reclaim their dignity. The island is the seventh day, the Sabbath day. It is in the stillness of a Sabbath day that you can remember you're more than a human doing. You're a human being created by God for friendship with God. Talking about prayer, von Balthasar said, after all the damaging and deadening distractions of the world's hyperactivity, prayerful silence and solitude allows one to recollect himself, to gather himself together. So after being scattered, fragmented into so many pieces on a Sabbath day, you can collect those scattered pieces and center yourself on God once again. So that's our subject. It's the fourth commandment that was read today as a scripture. The fourth commandment is to keep the Sabbath day holy. It's in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And if you really want to thrive and flourish in life, then you need to develop the habit of keeping a Sabbath. So think about that. How are you doing in your Christian life with respect to having a Sabbath day and keeping this fourth commandment? The Sabbath rhythm of life, the Sabbath cadence, the Sabbath tempo has been instilled by God into creation, into the world, right from the very beginning in creation. As the passage says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So, I'm not a musician, and you young folks did a fantastic job this morning. I'm not a physician, but I do know that sheet music has a time signature. And, you know, so many beats per measure, and so you have 4-4, 6-4, 2-4, and all kinds of combinations. Well, God's, creation song has a time signature of 6-1. 6-1. 6-1. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. And this is part of the grain of the universe, you might say. It's just part of the structure and order that God has woven into the fabric of the world right from the beginning. Right from creation. 6-1. 6-1. To be healthy and happy as a human being, you need alternating cycles of activity and inactivity, of work and rest, of labor and leisure. If you violate this divine pattern of life, it's going to be detrimental to your body and your soul. You're going to be out of step with 6-1 cadence. You're going to be out of step with the structure and order that God has instilled into the universe from the beginning, from creation. You're going to be working against the divinely designed order of things. Unbroken work will break you. Unbroken work will break you. You can get away with it for a while, but it will catch up to you and it will cut you down eventually. You will burn out and you will break down. Jesus said these great words about the Sabbath in Mark 2:27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for our benefit, for our good, for our blessing. We were not made to keep the rules and regulations of the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for our blessing. This is true of all of God's commands, by the way. All of God's commandments are for His glory and for our good. Isaiah 58, this is the message, paraphrase, Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. Yes, God says so. I appreciate that paraphrase of Isaiah 58. God's commands, keeping His commands, are a way of flourishing, helping us to flourish. So the Sabbath is a day, first of all, for physical rest. The Hebrew word for Sabbath means cease, stop, do not work. So the first thing about a Sabbath, keeping a Sabbath day, is to rest your body. Exodus 23, verse 12. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work so that you may be refreshed. I'm quoting the last part of that verse. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work so that you may be refreshed. And the first benefit of a Sabbath is bodily renewal, rejuvenation, revival. God did not create us for nonstop activity, for perpetual motion. Now, a confession to make, I'm a Sabbath breaker, and for the first 15 years of my pastoral ministry, I did not keep the Sabbath because I believe that the Sabbath law was part of a Mosaic law given Mount Sinai, which it was, and that this was kind of done away with in the new covenant. And so I didn't keep a Sabbath, and pastors don't get a Sabbath on Sunday. That's the day we work the hardest when we prepare to preach and open up the Word. So I love being a pastor, and I enjoy pastoral work. And so Sunday certainly was not a day of rest and a lot of activity. And then I would just keep right on moving through the week. And even on the day off, I was working. I wasn't working at the church. I was working doing something else. And so, you know, you can go for a while, especially when you're young. You can get away with it for a while, and I got away with it for a while. But after years of being a Sabbath breaker, and you know, there's a difference between taking a day off and taking a Sabbath, which we'll explain here. But it caught up to me, and I kind of hit the wall. I found that I couldn't get out of bed in a timely fashion in the morning. I was fatigued. I was tired. I had difficulty making decisions when I was in the office, and basically some started to get the little shakes in my hand, and so I had to come to my board, my church board, and say, I'm really not functioning very well as your pastor right now, and I'd been at this church about 10 years at that time, and I either have to resign or I need extended time off. And fortunately, they gave me some extended time off, but it took me a long time to recover from this. I know from experience when I say unbroken work will break you. It will catch up to you, body and soul. God knows what he's talking about when he says 6-1, 6-1. And on that one, do no work. It'll be a real challenge for us, but that's what the Lord commands. But you know, there's a deeper reason. It's not just physical rest. There's a much deeper reason why God has commanded us to keep the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath will lift us out of the law works frenzy into grace, faith, tranquility. Let me say that again. Keeping the Sabbath will lift you out of the law works frenzy of life into a new environment of grace, faith, tranquility. The Bible makes a really big deal about the dichotomy between faith and works, between law and grace. This is a huge, huge deal. And the Sabbath ties right in with that. The law works way of living says this: salvation is by working hard. Salvation is by me working hard. It's all up to me to make life work. If I'm going to be successful, then I have to figure it all out myself. You might call it homo faber. It's a Latin phrase. Man, the maker. The man who is the working man, the working person. It's the idea that people can control their destiny and their environment through the use of tools and technology. Just give me the right tools and I can take care of this problem. I can figure it out. Give me the latest version of iPhone and I can control my world. I mean, if you have an iPhone, who needs God? I mean, you know, really. I mean, everything's in there. So just with the right tools, if I just have the right tools, I can figure it out. All my problems can be solved if I just work harder, longer, smarter, and I got the right tools. This is the law works frenzy that you and I fall into all the time. And it's really almost a daily struggle. Am I going to live by law or by grace? By faith or by works? And the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, teaches us how to enter into the grace, faith way of living. You become a machine. You are reduced to being a human doing if you get into this law works kind of attitude and disposition. You're a machine whose chief purpose in life is to get things done. You're a doer. Life is just a long list of stuff to do. You ever feel that way? It's just a long, one thing after another, after another, after another. It's just this. And that's the whole law works perspective. It's a life of push and shove, ruthless competition and aggression. You're forcing your way by sheer willpower. That's law and works, as I understand it in Scripture. God offers us the Sabbath to lift us out of that hell-driven obsession with work. Absolute work. Sabbath keeping teaches us to live by grace and faith. But you take one day. You take one day. For most of you, it's Sunday, but it doesn't have to be Sunday. You take one day and you don't work. I mean, you really don't work physically or mentally. It's tough. It's really tough to do that. Try it. But if you do it, you make a startling discovery. Life goes on without you doing anything. Wow! The earth still spins on its axis. Sunrise, sunset. And if I don't do anything, the world still holds together. Because God is the one that's really holding everything together, not me. On the Sabbath day, you have to resign as the general manager of the universe. General manager. I mean, I think that's what we really feel like. I mean, spin those plates. I mean, it's all me doing it and holding it together. And Sabbath kills that idea. And that's a good thing. No, I live by grace. I receive grace from God. It's not me doing this. Like, I receive by faith. I trust. I lean on God. Be still and know that I'm God. Two scripture passages I really like for this attitude is Psalm 127, 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. He's addressing that law works, absolute work, frenzy, rising up early, staying up late, toiling, because it's me, I'm building, I'm protecting, I'm watching. But he says, look, you can build, but if God's not in this, it all comes to nothing. You can watch, you can try to protect your life and your city and your family, but look, if God's not protecting it, it's all useless. Ultimately, it's us working with God. It's this synergy between us co-laboring with God. We work. It's not that you don't work. We work, but we work with God, and we work trusting on God, relying upon God throughout the day. That's the grace, faith, tranquility that we try to enter into on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is supposed to set the tone for the 6-1-6-1. And the Sabbath sets the pace and sets the tone for the rest of your life. And through the week, as you are working, you're working with God. You're building, but he's building. You're watching, but he's watching. Because you're trusting him as you work. And it's a world of difference between working on your own and working in partnership with God. So Sabbath keeping totally reorients your life. It's revolutionary. It's a gift. It's a gift God is offering to us. Sabbath was made for us. Stop trying to make things happen. You let things happen on the Sabbath. You become a receiver, not a producer. God-reliant instead of self-reliant. So I want to talk about what I mean. I want to give you some practical advice about Sabbath keeping. What are we talking about? First of all, for most of you, I would think that Sunday would be your Sabbath. Under the Old Covenant, ancient times, the Sabbath was the seventh day, was Saturday, commemorating God's creative work, 6 days and resting the seventh. Under the New Covenant, the Sabbath is Sunday, first day of the week, commemorating new creation and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that took place on Sunday. And so it shifted. And so as you gather together, the high point of the Sabbath is corporate worship, if it's going to be a Sunday, like you gather together today, not only to give praise to God, but you are all in a receiving posture right now. You're all in a receiving posture, and I appreciate you paying attention, by the way. You're in a receiving posture, aren't you? Receiving the word of God. You're wanting to hear from God. Receiving counsel from God. See, that's trusting God. You're not working. You're receiving. You're putting your faith in God. So that's part of the training on the Sabbath. Secondly, not only is it probably going to be on a Sunday, but secondly, do no work. I've already said that's going to be really tough. You know, when I was breaking the Sabbath as a pastor for 15 years, there is nobody in the church that ever was concerned about me working too hard. Because working hard is like a virtue. Man, that guy gets a lot done, man. Never takes a day off. We're getting a lot for our money on this deal, you know. So it's an easy thing to get away with because work is so respected and so revered that to the extreme that you can be a workaholic and people will praise you for it, and it's killing you. It is killing you. It's killing your body, your health. It's killing your spirit because you're working for your salvation. That's the way I see it. It's me. It's me, me, me. I'm making things happen. And instead of being God is my Savior, and God sustains me through the day. I recommend on the Sabbath that you take a guilt-free nap. Guilt-free nap. Okay, I can't give you a verse for that. Well, maybe Psalm 127. He gives his those he loves sleep. It's vain for you to rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. He gives those he loves sleep. Refresh the body. Renewal. Only do works of necessity and mercy on the Sabbath like Jesus did. What about children? My wife and I, we raised four children, and so we had four children, by the way, three teenagers at the same time in our house. It's amazing I can think straight today. But, you know, so it was kind of a zoo in our house, four kids, and, you know, how do you take a Sabbath? How do you have silence and solitude? So, just a little piece of advice, what we did, we took turns looking after the kids. And so, you know, I would take care of the children for a while, doing everything, and so Diane could be free, usually go somewhere else to be totally free to be with God and pray and communicate, listen to God and rest, and then she would return the favor for me. Block out time on the Sabbath for silence and solitude with God. Block out time on the Sabbath for silence and solitude with God when you're not going to be distracted. You're not going to be interrupted. You're not going to be interfered with. Jesus did this. You remember? He would take the opportunity often to just get away by himself, to pray with the Father. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 5:16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You just got to get away from people sometimes. You just got to get totally away just to be with God and a leisure time with God, not a rushed, hurried time. You know, like, God, you gotta talk to me. I got like 5 minutes. Can you just kind of hurry it up? You know, it's not talking about that. It's a relaxed, leisurely, keeping company with God. Got a big challenge to doing this today. we have a really big challenge getting this time for silence and solitude because of a little device that we use nowadays, which I'm holding in my hand. And do you know people live for thousands of years without the cell phone? Did you ever realize that? You know, it's possible to live without a cell phone. And people lived well without the cell phone. It sounds really weird to us, but I think, you know, like the most common pose in Shanghai and many places in the world is this. That's like the classic, you know, this. It's your Bible. It's your library. It's your calendar and your scheduler. It's your map. It's your teacher. It's your pastor. Sermons, aren't they? Are sermons on here? Entertainment, praise band, and there's a lot more that I didn't think of. So we have a new addiction today. It's a new addiction. And the phone is my shepherd. I shall not want. So it's always on communication. It's always on communication. So if you're going to take a Sabbath and you want silence and solitude, you have to turn it off and put it away from you. I mean, I see fear. I see fear in your faces. You know, can you actually detach yourself? You know, we're leashed to this, folks. We're leashed to this device here. Sabbath, you have to put it aside, and you have to just be free to talk to God. You know what fubbing is? The new word, you heard the new word fubbing. It's conflating two words, phone and snubbing. Have you been fubbed? Or are you a fubber? You know, it's like I'm talking to somebody and they're doing this. Yeah. You know, I'm getting fubbed. I'm getting fubbed. You know, they're not paying attention, full attention to me. You know, they got this. And we do this to God, you know, when we're praying. Beep, beep. God, get it. Hold it. I got, yeah. So we're fubbing God. Pretty insulting, really, isn't it? It really bothers me. Please don't do that to me. You know, when you're talking, I really like you to look at me in the face and be fully engaged in what I'm saying. And don't you think God feels the same way? You know, so this is going to be a challenge for us. But Sabbath, silence and solitude, reflection, is going to require a life change. A life change. Believe me, if you do this, you won't go back. Because it is so sweet. It's so refreshing. It's so rejuvenating to totally break through, disengage, inactivity. On the Sabbath, you need to have unhurried time for Bible reading and reflection. And, it's called Lectio Divina. That's church history, Lectio Divina, holy reading, reading with the heart more than with the head. And, you know, when you're reading the Bible, you just can't really get it unless you meditate on it. I mean, you know, it's good to read it and just kind of go get the big picture sometimes, but you need on a Sabbath, you need to go deep. You need to go down deep. And you just have to reflect on it. You just have to meditate on it. You know? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Jesus speaking. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You have to meditate on that to really be secure, to really feel the comfort of that. You can't just read that and go on. You got to read that. You got to meditate on. You got to chew on that. You got to try to digest that. It happens on the Sabbath. It happens on the Sabbath. Silence and solitude. When you do this, contemplate creation. contemplate creation. Stop working and start watching God. And, you know, even in Shanghai, there are amazing things to see in creation. And I'm a farm boy. What am I doing in Shanghai? You know, but I am really a country boy. But there are amazing things to see here in this city, but you have to look at them. G.K. Chesterton said, people marvel at an earthquake. We ought to marvel at the earth. I love him. We ought to marvel at the earth. Wonders all around us. I got a couple pictures here. So we got, you've seen these. These are all over the place in this city. Camellia. Camellia. But you've got to stop. You know, we're walking along, you know, camellia. Yeah, it's camellia. Yeah. You know, you've got to stop, man. You've got to take a look at this. Don't just take a picture and then go on. We bag things with the picture. You know, got it. You know, put it online. No, no. Stand in wonder and awe. Look at the next slide. This bird lives in Shanghai. Did you know that? Have you seen this bird? This bird. Diane's a witness. I have seen this bird in this city. Who has seen this bird? Not too many. See? You know, creation is just like a meaningless backdrop for many of us. And we're missing. God is always talking through creation. He is always talking. He's declaring his glory. That bird is in this city. And there's a lot of other interesting things. So, ask yourself probing Ask yourself probing questions. On the Sabbath day, ask yourself questions about how you're doing. The Bible says, give careful thought to your ways. When do you ever do that? Give careful thought to your ways. On the Sabbath, that's the only time, probably. Give careful thought. Ponder the path of your feet, Proverbs says. And so on the Sabbath, you ask yourself, how am I doing, God? Are you pleased with my life? There's a gentleman, and I gotta quit. I'm running out of time here, but there's a gentleman in the church at Abundant Grace who's in a transition between jobs. He's in between jobs, and he needs God's direction for the future. He is leaving today for the monastery of St. Catherine in the burning bush at the base of Mount Sinai in Egypt. Wow. I mean, he's going to have a Sabbath, like a whole week, because he needs direction from God to know about his future. Wow, I thank God for him. What a great example for doing that. So, those are some hints on Sabbath keeping. One final quote. I'll close with this. Eugene Peterson. The great reality we are involved in as people is gone. Most of the people around us don't know that and couldn't care less. One of the ways God has provided for us to stay aware of and responsive to Him as the determining and centering reality of our lives in a world that doesn't care about it is my Sabbath keeping. At regular intervals, we all need to quit our work and contemplate His, quit talking to each other and listen to Him. May God help you know how to apply this to your life. I'm sure it's a blessing that God wants to give you if you'll accept it, the Sabbath day, but you have to want it. Let's pray. Father, you do love us, and we are grateful. You gave your one and only Son for us that we might live. And certainly your commandments all come and spring forth out of a heart of love for us. And so we thank you for the Sabbath command, the Sabbath day. Help us keep it holy. Help us to receive it, practice it, escape the frenzy of working for our own salvation, and learn the peace and freedom and liberty that comes from living by faith day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.